I'm Arlo Barnett.
They'd send him off to have him evaluated and postpone it. That was pretty tough.
A Floyd County couple pled guilty to murder charges today.
Governor Matt Bevin is expected to call a special session dealing with tax reform.
A Louisville activist responds to President Trump's transgender ban for the military.
In sports, the Reds finish up their series with the Yankees.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And we'll bring you the complete weather forecast after this news.
Ronald and Loretta Wright have pled guilty to their role in a 2013 murder. WYMT reports the Floyd County couple admitted to conspiring to kill Famer Halbert, as well as shooting and injuring his wife Lorraine. Floyd County Commonwealth Attorney Brent Turner represented the Wrights in the week-long trial, which culminated yesterday.
I was surprised that he finally agreed to, from the standpoint that he had been so reluctant to for the past 4 years.
Turner says in light of the evidence revealed in court, the couple decided a plea deal was the best option. Formal sentencing is set for October 26th.
The director of a Kentucky Democratic Political Action Committee has been arrested on charges including theft and forgery. 25-year-old Grace Wise was arrested Monday and faces charges including one count of theft by deception of more than $10,000, four counts of theft by deception for less than $10,000, and second-degree forgery, according to local news reports. Wise has resigned as director of Back to the Bluegrass, the Courier-Journal reported. The Financial Crimes Unit discovered Wise had opened an account in which she deposited fraudulent checks. Lexington Police Public Information Officer Brenna Angel says Wise is accused of withdrawing $6,000, and she attempted to negotiate a forged check for $15,000.
Kentucky Democratic Representative John Yarmuth and State Senator Rand Paul are in agreement that the proposed GOP health care bill is a bad idea, but for very different reasons. Yarmuth says any GOP plan is bound to put Kentuckians in danger, especially without a fleshed-out replacement for the Affordable Care Act.
In fact, I was elected on the promise to vote to completely repeal Obamacare. And we're not going to get a vote on complete repeal, but we're going to get a vote on partial repeal, which is better than what they've been offering.
Paul disagrees with Yarmuth, who says the fleshed-out replacement is necessary.
They talked about repealing the Affordable Care Act for 7 years, but never really thought about what they could replace it with.
The Senate voted 57 to 43 late Tuesday night to reject the plan in the first vote on an amendment to the bill.
With Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin expected to call for a special session of the legislature to deal with tax reform and public pension fixes sometime after August 15th, business and civic leaders around the state are offering ideas about what needs to be accomplished during the session. Sheila Schuster, the executive director of the Advocacy Action Network, gave her opinion on KET's Kentucky Tonight.
We need to address the inequities in our system. We tax our low and middle income Kentuckians at a much higher percentage of their disposable or their income in taxes. I think we do need to make Kentucky a more attractive place for business, but I think we do that not simply in terms of addressing businesses, but in terms of addressing education and the health of our workforce. And I think we need to have the revenue to make those investments.
Bevin has said he wants the tax code reformed so that it will provide the state with much-needed revenue to help pay for such things as the public pension debt.
A Noah's Ark theme park in Williamstown is selling their main parcel back to a for-profit affiliate in an effort to secure millions of dollars. Haley Hansen reports.
The issue began in June after ARC Encounter transferred the property to its nonprofit affiliate Crosswater Canyon for $10. They switched back right after the Kentucky Tourism Arts and Heritage Cabinet suspended a tax break worth up to $18 million for the biblical attraction. The co-founder of ARC Encounter's parent body, Answers in Genesis, says they needed to keep options open but didn't explain the two land transfers. The controversial 510-foot wooden ARC opened last year. I'm Haley Hansen.
A Louisville gay rights activist says President Trump's transgender military ban is, quote, ludicrous. According to a Trump tweet, the president is barring transgender people from serving in the military in any capacity, citing tremendous medical costs and disruption. Fairness campaign director Chris Hartman says forcing transgenders in the military back into the closet is irresponsible.
These are brave soldiers who have served our country nobly and well and deserve to continue serving our country without hindrance.
Hartman says the idea that transgender members of the armed forces are a burden couldn't be further from the truth.
Kentucky's only Democratic congressman is weighing in on the call for State Senator Julian Carroll's resignation. KNN's Haley Henson has the story.
Representative John Yarmuth says he thinks state senators should investigate claims that Carroll allegedly groped a man and asked him for sex back in 2015 before they call for his removal.
There was no coercion, no abuse. It was a simple expression of interest.
The Senate Democratic caucus voted to remove Carroll from his position as minority whip following reports of the incident. Carroll has not commented on the allegations. I'm Haley Hansen.
Residents of Cimarron Road in Rowan County are concerned about safety risks posed by heavy rainfall. Neighbors say the road is crumbling and water has covered the bridge the last two severe weather events. David Osborne lives on Cimarron Road. He spoke with WKYT.
I mean, if the bridge was to go, we'd be stranded over here. I mean, I don't know how we'd get out, because that's the only way we got in and out of here. And when the flood gets up, most of the time we're stranded to a half a day to a day.
Osborne says he'd like the county to build the road up and install a new bridge, but the Round County Road Department says all they can do at the moment is put down gravel in areas that are damaged.
Maysville's Mayor David Cartmill and Mason County Judge Executive Joe Pfeffer have issued local emergency declarations after a weekend flood created millions of dollars in damage in their communities. 6 inches of rain early Sunday forced Limestone Creek and its tributaries over their banks and into the cities and its downtown. Vehicles and homes were destroyed. Several people were left homeless, and much of Maysville was left covered by mud and debris. Despite the disaster, Cartmill says local residents are holding up well as they work together to clean up their city.
Everybody is doing fine at this point. You know, as it moves along and people start getting depressed over it if you don't move fast enough. I mean, we're moving as fast as we can.
Local officials are talking with representatives of the Kentucky Emergency Management Agency as they try to put an official dollar figure on their destruction. The plan to eventually apply for disaster assistance from the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
A Fleming County car dealership is working to get back in business after last weekend's flooding. WKYT reports employees of Cheap's Chevrolet spent Tuesday cleaning mud-caked floors and drying waterlogged paper records. General Manager John Hyatt says his family has run the business since 1951, and they've never seen anything like it.
Water was in the drawers. I mean, we pulled these drawers out, and water was in them. So it gives you an idea, you know, the water line around here on the wall lets you know how much the water was up in this office.
Hyatt says water damage ruined about 200 cars, but the dealership received 2 truckloads of new vehicles yesterday, with more to come as the week goes on. Hyatt hopes to get the sales department back open on Thursday and the service department early next week.
The Kentucky Transportation Cabinet has a crew conducting a project on a section of U.S. 60 near the western Carter County community of Globe. Cabinet spokesman Alan Blair says they're doing some culvert replacement work.
you know, US 60 being a very highly traveled route, we will not close it. We will just do half at a time. So there will be traffic will be one lane controlled by flaggers through there. So we just ask people to slow down and watch for that work.
Blair says the effort is expected to be completed by the end of this week. However, with thunderstorms rolling into the area on Thursday, that timeline could change.
Even though the Morehead State President's home is on the National Register of Historic Places, a university official says that won't hamper a renovation project being done there. Some $300,000 is being spent to replace the original plumbing and electrical systems in the over 80-year-old structure. According to Rick Linio, MSU's Assistant Vice President for Facilities Management, the Register's main concern is preserving the outsides of the buildings on its list. Linio says there it offers some leeway on what can be done on the interiors of those facilities, but he adds the integrity of what's inside the president's home will be maintained.
Just opening up plaster walls, putting new piping in, and closing everything up. So from that perspective, it's not a hindrance. It's just that we just have to be understanding the cognizance of it, that it is a historical building, and we just have to meet today's standards internally.
According to Linio, it will take about 4 to 5 months to complete the updates at the MSU president's home.
Construction should begin this fall on the second building for the Rouen campus of Maysville's Community and Technical College at the MMRC Industrial Park. MCTC Chief Operating Officer Russ Ward says it will be located right next to the college's new $28 million campus center that's also being built there. Work on that initiative is expected to wrap up in the coming months. Ward says the second facility will cost $5 million to build.
We're looking at working with the federal government and the MMRC through some loan programs that they have, rural development loans. And the building will basically be owned by the industrial park, and we will look at leasing that for the time being.
Ward says the second MCTC Rouen building will house the school's so-called High Bay Area programs, such as welding, diesel, and auto technology, construction, and HVAC. Its Workforce Solutions program will also be housed there, along with possible incubators for manufacturing firms looking at locating in the area.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening region, tonight we'll see a few clouds, a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, a 90% chance of thunderstorms blowing in, the possibility of severe weather, highs around 79. Tomorrow night, thunderstorms continuing, an 80% chance of rain, lows around 68, and on Friday we'll see scattered thunderstorms in the morning, the chance of rain 60%, tapering off throughout the day, highs around 78 degrees. It is currently sitting at 89 degrees in Lexington, it's 84 right now in Flemingsburg, 85 in Ashland, and 87 degrees in Inez here on the campus of Morehead State University, it's 87 degrees.
On our feature segment, we have Neighbors, Adrian Swain's conversation with our diverse Appalachian community. Today, Adrian talks with Jose Luis Garcia, who was born in Mexico City. Formerly the chief technology officer of a major Mexican telecommunications company, a university professor, and a key player in the development of the Mexican space program, Jose is currently working to obtain a second master's degree at Morehead State University's Space Science Center. He shares with us lifelong passion for space exploration.
I was born in Mexico City, one of the five largest cities of the world. Since I was very young, I remember that I really wanted to know how the things work. I start with my toys, taking everything apart. If I saw that the toy has lights or it's moved, well, I wanted to know why. Everything at home that it's not working, I just ask permission to open it and to investigate. My interest in the space activities was probably born the day that I watched Neil Armstrong walking on the moon. I don't remember that moment. I was 1 year and a half, but my parents told me that I spent all the week just trying to walk as Neil Armstrong. Small jumps, like in a slow motion. They told me, you look very funny when you try to do that because you started to walk, and then you try to walk like the astronaut. I believe that was the moment in which I got that passion for the space. For me, it was a dream because in Mexico, there is not a space industry. I studied mechanical and electrical engineering. The Space University program was working in the development of a small scientific satellite. The director accepted me, and I started to work on that just for fun. That gave me the opportunity to be part of the team that made the first Mexican satellite that was successfully launched in 1996. Went to Stanford University as a graduate student to collaborate on that space system development laboratory. On charge of Professor Robert Twiggs, I decided to go back to Mexico because as a young guy, I had too many ideas I wanted to implement. And one of those dreams was to create a Mexican space agency. But it's not like in the Disney tales. The space program at the university was closed. And then I started to work in a telecommunications company. I started as a technology analyst. And I finished when I left the company as a chief technology officer. A few years on the private industry, but I still feel that something was missing me. I was teacher at National Autonomous University of Mexico. Then there was some opportunity to resume space activities at the School of Engineering at the University of Mexico, and I wanted to do what I really liked. I initiated the promotion for creating the Mexican Space Agency. We were a group of professionals, people from the government, from private industry, from the academy. The Mexican Space Agency was a reality 5 years ago. And then somebody asked me if I want to be part of the team for the new Mexican satellite system for the government of Mexico. Following the preparation of the mission for the launch of one of the three satellites that this new system has, the last launch was here in Cape Canaveral, and I talked with my wife, and I said, hey, you know, I'm going to miss this. And then Professor Twiggs told me what he was doing here at Morehead State University, and I said, I want to be part of that challenge to put a small satellite on the moon. Last week, I was on Cape Canaveral to see the launch of the CXBN2, a satellite made here at Morehead State University and was launched to the International Space Station. And my wife told me, hey, do you remember that we were here 2 years ago? I said, yes. I feel it that everything was finished. And she told me, this never finished. You get what you really want. And that's true. I really would like to thank the people of Morehead. You know, as a foreigner sometimes, there is always a fear about discrimination. But in Morehead, I just receive support for the people and affection.
Jose, thank you very much for coming to talk to me today.
Adrian, thank you. And thank you for once again for this great Morehead community and a really lovely people.
Neighbors with Adrian Swain airs on Mountain Edition each Wednesday afternoon. It's 4:49 here on the campus of Morehead State University. We are so glad to have you with us. Braxton Howard is up with sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the city of Morehead, a trail town community in eastern Kentucky and located near I-64 within the Daniel Boone National Forest, home to Morehead State University, St. Clair Regional Medical Center, and Cave Run Lake. The city of Morehead supports community livability, economic prosperity, educational enrichment, cultural outreach, and recreational engagement. Office is located at 314 Bridge Street and by phone at 784-8505 or online at morehead-ky.gov. Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds wrapped up their two-game interleague series with the New York Yankees today in the Bronx. The Reds fell again 9-5. Homer Bailey got the loss for the Reds, dropping his record to 2-5 on the year. It's off to Miami for the Reds now. They get a four-game series with the Marlins started tomorrow at 7:10. A few afternoon baseball scores today. Tampa Bay beat Baltimore 5-1. Boston leads Seattle 2-0 in the fourth inning. Atlanta and Arizona are tied at 1 in the third, and the Pirates and Giants are tied at 1 in the third as well. Cincinnati Bengals owner Mike Brown fired back at veteran broadcaster Bob Costas during the team's pre-training camp kickoff luncheon Tuesday. Talking during a recent CNN interview about NFL teams hiring players with criminal histories, Costas noted Bengals cornerback Adam Pacman-Jones' recent legal issues and said the team, quote, seems to be running a halfway house for miscreants. Brown responded on WCPO-TV, calling Costas a respected voice in the broadcasting industry, but one who is dead wrong on this issue.
Do I think we have a locker room with the James boys and Pretty Boy Floyd and John Dillinger? I don't. I'm not Ma Barker. I really think he would have been better to have looked into this one a little bit more.
The Bengals start their training camp on Saturday up in Cincinnati. Also in the NFL, Myles Garrett, the number one pick in this summer's draft, has recovered from a sprained foot and will be ready to go when the Cleveland Browns start camp on Thursday. And Atlanta Falcons star wide receiver Julio Jones had an accident on a jet ski this week. And while he wasn't injured, he lost one of his earrings valued at $150,000. Jones hired a team of divers to recover the earring from the lake, but they were unsuccessful. With the Eagles' preseason practices starting next Tuesday, Morehead State football coach Rob Tenier already knows what his job one will be. Tenier needs to determine who will replace four-year starting quarterback Austin Gayhafer, who graduated in May after a record-setting career.
Internally, we have a ranking right now. We have a one, we have a two, and we have a three. And so our goal is to, by practice six or seven, to determine who the number one guy is. And him get the majority of the reps. And that's what our goal is.
Senior Jack Sherry, junior Lawson Page, and redshirt freshman Ethan Jeffers are the main contenders. West Carter football coach Kevin Brown hopes the Comets will have another stout defense this season. In compiling a 6-5 record in 2016, West allowed an average of less than 17 points a game. Brown would like a repeat of that this fall from his young Comets, who return only three seniors on their roster.
Potentially, we could be pretty good with our overall all-team speed. And, you know, once again, it's just a matter of staying healthy and, trying to get the young guys ready to come in for when they're needed and give people breaks and things. And if we can do that, I feel like we could end up pretty good defensively.
West Carter entertains Powell County in its season opener on August the 25th. Morehead State men's basketball team has been working to get some important work done this month. Coach Preston Spradlin says the individual and team drills that they've done over the past 4 weeks has laid the foundation for the Eagles' 2017-18 season.
We talk about that a lot with our guys of just the fundamentals and the things that are going to carry over to, you know, whatever style we decide to play as we get going, how we decide to do things offensively or defensively, things that are going to make us be successful at both of those, and just kind of getting that discipline on the court.
Starting this weekend, members of the MSU men's basketball team will be getting a little vacation time before returning for the start of the university's fall semester. And finally in sports, the University of Kentucky and Indiana University could renew their basketball series sooner rather than later. The two programs haven't played each other since the 2012 season when they faced each other twice, once in the regular season and once in the NCAA tournament, with Indiana winning the regular season game and Kentucky knocking off the Hoosiers in the Sweet 16 before advancing on to win the national championship. On the Dan Dockett Show earlier this week, Kentucky head coach John Calipari discussed the two rivals renewing their series.
What I like to do is neutral games, because neutral games prepare you for the NCAA tournament. I haven't changed. I offered two games in Indianapolis. My governor at the time, Governor Beshear, was not happy with me. Like, why don't we play one game in Kentucky? I said, because I can't play in Louisville. They tell me I can't get in that building. So we're going to play two, called the football arena. Both of us get 25,000 people at the game. It'll be nuts. And I was told no.
Cal says he thinks a new series could be agreed to with Archie Miller, who Calipari is close family friends with, taking over as the new Indiana head coach. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Tickets are now available for Morehead State fall sports, including football, soccer, and volleyball. Home games begin August 13th for soccer and August 25th for volleyball. Football begins their season by hosting Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. on Thursday, August 31st. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mostly higher on the back of strong earnings and also following the Federal Reserve's decision to keep interest rates unchanged. And the Fed was widely expected to keep monetary policy steady. The central bank did lay the groundwork for winding down its massive stimulus program in September. And the Dow Industrials did finish at a record closing high, finishing with a gain of 97.58 at 21,711.01. The S&P 500 also set a new all-time closing high, finishing with a small gain of only 0.7 at 2477.83, and the NASDAQ Composite also finished at an all-time closing high with a gain of 10.57 at 6422.75. U.S. Treasury yields actually fell as bond prices rose today heading into the Fed's announcement, and they remained at similar levels afterward. The 10-year Treasury yield finished at around 2.3%, while the 2-year yield held steady around 1.36%. The CBOE Volatility Index, the VIX index, which is widely considered the best gauge of fear in the market, traded at a record low, breaking below 9 shortly after the Fed released its statement. Coca-Cola and Ford posted better-than-expected quarterly results. The stocks went in opposite directions as Coca-Cola was up 1% in today's trading. Ford was down 2%. And also investors focused on earnings from Dow component Boeing, which topped Wall Street estimates. The company's revenues came in below expectations, but Boeing did raise its full-year earnings guidance to a range of $9.80 to $10 per share. Boeing stock, again, a huge winner today, finishing with a gain of almost 10%. Earnings season has been strong thus far, with 34% of S&P 500 components having reported as of this morning. 78% had beaten profit expectations, and also 73% have topped expectations on sales. This according to data from the Earnings Scout. In economic news, mortgage applications rose 0.4%, which was actually less than expected, and new home sales rose 0.8%. In commodities markets, U.S. crude oil for September delivery rose 1.8% to settle at $48.75 a barrel after the Energy Information Administration reported a crude drawdown of 7.2 million barrels, and gold was up 0.5%, finishing at $1,259.90 an ounce. In Europe, markets rose with the Stock 600 up about 0.5%. Asian markets were also up, with the Nikkei up 0.5% and the Hang Seng Index up 0.3%. And among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Boeing and Coca-Cola. The worst performers were Nike and McDonald's. In the S&P 500, again, Boeing and AT&T, your two best performers there. And the worst performers were Akamai Technologies and Universal Health Services. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 42 cents at 66.59, CSX up 50 cents at 52.06, AEP up 63 cents at 69.47, AK Steel down 55 cents at 6.24, Marathon Petroleum down 31 cents at 55.71, and U.S. Bancorp was down 73 cents, finishing at 52.44. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Eat Gallery, exquisite art treasures, 46 West 2nd Street in historic downtown Maysville. Eat Gallery features fine jewelry, local artwork, mineral specimens, fossils, and treasures from around the globe. Eat Gallery also offers handmade heirlooms, earrings, bracelets, and gifts for any occasion. Open 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday through Friday and 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturdays. Eat Gallery can be reached at 606-564-5578 and online at eatgallery.com.
Turning once again to a look at the local weather forecast, tonight we'll see a few clouds with a stray shower or thunderstorm possible, lows around 68 degrees. Tomorrow, a 90% chance of thunderstorms, the possibility of severe weather, highs around 79 degrees. Tomorrow night, we'll see an 80% chance of rain continuing, lows around 68, and on Friday, scattered thunderstorms in the morning, a 60% chance of rain, highs around 78. It's currently 87 degrees here in Moorhead.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Braxton Howard, Jacob Lindberg, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Haley Hansen, and of course, Moorhead's own Adrian Swain. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. From Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.